Well, I thank you again for your patience as I deal with an issue with my left knee exacerbated during the priest convocation and going up and down steps. And God willing, we'll visit the orthopedic specialist tomorrow. Certainly, I'll preempt him and say, yes, I know, I need to lose weight. That's the one issue, although it doesn't cause arthritis, nevertheless. But I need to lose weight. I fear every time I go to the doctor, I have a headache. You need to lose weight. But nevertheless, but certainly we'll see an x-ray and see what's going on there. But have to be humble, first of all, to admit there's something wrong. Sometimes people don't want to go to the doctor, even though something is clearly wrong. And then to be honest with the doctor about what steps have I taken or not taken in regards to the presenting issue. But I'm grateful to have health insurance and grateful to be able to choose a specialist from those who are available. Catholic social teaching says that to have access to health care is a basic right. Certainly there are prudential judgments about how to ensure this right for everyone, but it's a basic right for every person. It's important to have regular checkups of our physical body. It's important to go to the doctor when we need to check up what ails us. We have to be humble and we have to be honest. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. But even as we pray for physical healing and physical well-being, and we want God to answer those prayers, as the Lord has shown us through the gospel readings, it's more important to make sure that we're right with God, that we have a good relationship with our God, and we allow that relationship to positively impact how we see ourselves and how we relate to others. In today's gospel reading, the context is the same as we have heard since the end of June. Jesus is on his last journey to Jerusalem. He is resolute and determined to go there. He knows he's going to face the cross. He's going to take up that cross. He's going to take on the sins of the world in order to take them away. He's going to taste death, but triumph over it. He's going to share that victory with the human race. He's going to heal the wounds of sin, division, and death. He provides the remedy. But how will we each personally experience it in our lives? We have to be humble before God. We need to be honest with God if we are going to receive the healing that God wishes to provide for us. Medical care is a science. Doesn't always guarantee healing. I know for myself, when I went through the blood platelet disorder, it took 3 times for the doctor to figure out what type of regimen will help to put it into remission. But the Lord promises that as he provides the healing remedy, it will provide the forgiveness of sin. Not might, it will give us a framework for living fruitfully here on earth. It will help us to overcome death. It will give us everlasting life. And so how much more should I follow the regimen that the Lord wants to give to me to ensure that I have good spiritual health? And so the Lord in his love calls us to engage in spiritual checkups, And he shows us, contrasting the attitude of the Pharisee with the tax collector, how we should properly undergo this spiritual checkup. Engaging in a regular spiritual checkup is a significant moment in our lives. It's a serious moment, but it should not be a scrupulous moment. We become scrupulous if we think that the main way in which God interacts with us is to watch us and wait to catch us in doing the wrong thing. No, the Lord loves us and wants to provide for us to do what is right. It's an exaggerated sense to be scrupulous, an exaggerated sense, worried that God only wants to punish us. In contrast, the Lord wants us to engage in a spiritual checkup as an expression of our love for Him. We have a profound appreciation that He already loves us. We do not have to earn His love, and God gives us the capacity to do what is right. The traditional Catholic term for a spiritual checkup with God is the examination of conscience. What is the conscience? The conscience is the ability to use our reason to decide the morality of our actions in a particular situation. How do we get to that decision? First of all, we have faith in God. What we believe is a positive response to what God has revealed to be the truth about human beings are to live. We accept the meaning of this truth and how God has provided it. He provides it through the gospel of Jesus Christ, given to us through His church. What we believe is in response to God's revelation. What we believe influences our thinking. How we think determines our actions. So, the conscience makes a decision as an exercise of our reason, because God has given us the power to think, to assess how we are to make a right moral decision. The church describes conscience as the sanctuary in which we are alone with God. And that's important. As I've said before, when I give the definition of conscience, there are no equal conversation partners there in that sanctuary. Just as we've come to this church to worship the Lord, so we go into the sanctuary of our conscience to worship the Lord, to offer loving obedience to the Lord, to accept His teaching, whether it's comforting or consoling, whether it's challenging or correcting. They're all expressions of His love for us. Conscience is an act of reason. It is not a subjective opinion based on how we feel. Otherwise, our feelings would probably say, well, I don't like those comforting or challenging teachings. Maybe the Lord really didn't say that, or maybe the Lord didn't mean it for me. But then it would be easy to accept the comforting and consoling teachings. But from our reason, we believe that God is good all the time, and everybody wants to say all the time God is good, but you need to also say that not only when things are going well, not only when you benefit from a comforting or consoling teaching, but also when things are not going well, also when God offers a challenging or correction to us. Conscience is an exercise of our reason to make a morally right decision in response to a given situation. And we make that decision reflecting on what God has revealed to be the truth. And because we love Him and He loves us far beyond our imagining, it's an act of worship to say, I will conform my life to what God wants me to do, whether it's popular or not. Let's go to the temple, in which Jesus talks about two people. Their conscience had been formed in response to the revelation of God, but they exercised their conscience in contrasting ways, unexpected ways. First, there is the Pharisee. And the point is not that the Pharisee came to the front of the temple. You know, people shouldn't be figuring out, maybe I need to move to the back of the church now. The purpose, the thing is the Pharisee's attitude as he came into the temple. Jesus said something very interesting. The Pharisee came into the temple and he prayed to himself. God did not listen to his prayer. Because as we engage in a spiritual checkup, we are humble before God and honest with God. And yet the Pharisee had this posture of haughtiness before God, and God did not listen to him. Even though the Pharisee thanked God that he was not like other people, that's really haughty. That's really being dishonest. Because the Lord came to heal the wounds of everyone's sin. Everyone's sin nailed the Lord to the cross, as we sung in the opening hymn today. We cannot say, like the tax collector, well, my sins are, you know, I haven't committed any sins. I'm not like these other people. And then most of us wouldn't even make that determination, and we wouldn't be that stupid. We know that we have sinned. But a lot of times in pastoral ministry, I encounter people who are so uncomfortable to encounter their sinfulness that they'll rationalize and say, first, at least I didn't kill anyone, making themselves feel better about themselves. I didn't kill anyone. Lord, that murderer really struck a blow on that nail into your body. But, you know, my sins were pretty light. That was a light tap there. You know my heart, so really the murderer is more responsible than I am. You're going to hold him or her more accountable than me. And all of us are tempted to try to compare ourselves favorably with others to make us feel good, especially when we have done wrong things. At least I'm not like that person. At least I didn't commit adultery. At least I didn't steal. At least I didn't ruin somebody's reputation or what have you. The other temptation is also to think, well, I'm doing all these things God asked me to do. And yet, there are others who don't do what God asked them to do, at least from what I can see, and they seem not to have problems. And I continue to have problems. What's going on, God? I come to Holy Mass on Sundays. I give to the offering. I send my children to the school religion. I even go to Bible study. I give to the food pantry. I come to the Sacrament of Reconciliation regularly. What's going on? Why do I have problems? When that person who doesn't even care about you, they should have the problems. And God is not interested in us comparing ourselves favorably towards others. You know, the person who murdered someone could repent even as they are held civilly accountable for their behavior. The murderer could repent and be forgiven by God, and then there could be the person who would say, I'm better than the murderer, and my sins are pretty light, and I really don't have to say anything about it. And if they don't repent, they may not be going to heaven. And if you think that's unfair, and if you get upset with what I just said, well, that's just how the Pharisees felt when Jesus said that in the parable today. And later on in the gospel, after the gospel reading we have today, the evangelist says the Pharisees were upset and they wanted to get rid of Jesus because of what he was teaching. But who are we to say that God has the capacity to forgive my sins, but he does not have the capacity to forgive the sins of those I don't like? And that's what Jesus was talking about in the parable, because the Pharisee couldn't even admit that he had sinned. He said, I fast twice a week. I tithe on my whole income, and I'm not like these dishonest, adulterous, and greedy people. And Jesus said that he wasn't humble. He was not honest with God. He said he followed all the commandments, but he broke the first one because he placed himself above God. He exalted himself instead of exalting God. He was not humble before God. He was not honest with God. And therefore, he was not healed by God. The tax collector comes into the temple, and his conscience was formed as well. He knew he was a beloved child of God, but he had squandered his inheritance. He knew that there was only one God, but he served an emperor who claimed to be a god. He knew that he should not practice thievery, but like other tax collectors of his day, he imposed a personal surcharge on top of the imperial tax, unbeknownst to the taxpayer. He would get rich off of what he did, but he was morally bankrupt, and his conscience troubled him because the love of the Lord was drawing him back, saying, it does not have to be this way for you. His conscience was troubling him, and he could have avoided going to the temple, thinking, I can never change, or God does not want me. But he followed the leading of the Lord, entered the temple, struck his breast, and said, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He was humble before God. He recognized that he's a beloved child of God, and he was not acting as such. He recognized that God is God, and the truth he reveals is right for him, and he needed to conform to it. He was honest with God. And therefore, he was healed by God. The way Jesus said it is that the Pharisee left the temple unjustified. The tax collector left justified, meaning in a right relationship with God. Undergoing a spiritual checkup is very important for our lives. And we do not have to fear any of the changes that God wants to foster in our lives after we undergo this spiritual checkup. He's making us whole persons who follow the teaching and the example of Christ, who shows us what it means to be authentically human. And so pray for one another. There's no need to be fearing about being humble before God or honest with God, because there is an eternal benefit, not based on some type of insurance, but on an inheritance that God has given that is eternal.